Just listen to me reading from 1 Kings in chapter 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, the prophet, "What have you against me, O man of God? You've come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms, carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged, and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, the prophet cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon this widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" And then Elijah stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." I want to just leave this little message with you. Love cries out. To give you the full context of this story, not too long before this moment with this widow and her child, Elijah had showed up into this town and there was this widow. She lost her husband. It was for her just to live day by day with her son. And she was at the front gate and she was just collecting small branches. And God put it on Elijah's heart to go to this woman. And God told Elijah the prophet that this woman would be ready to serve him. And so as Elijah comes to this front gate and there's this woman collecting these branches, he says, "Will you bring me just a cup of water?" And so the woman responds and goes to go get him a cup of water. And as she's on her way to go get him a cup of water, then Elijah says to her, "Would you also get me a piece of bread?" And at that point, the widow stops real quick and goes back to him and goes, "Look, I was just collecting a few branches because I'm poor and all I have is about a handful of flour and a little handful of oil. I'm going home to just make my son and I just a piece of bread and then we're gonna die." And at that point, she was just keeping it real with Elijah. Like, this is what it is for me. This is my life. We're poor and I'm expecting that everything that we have is gonna finally just run out and we're gonna die. It was a woman here that demonstrates hopelessness. And so Elijah responds to her and just says, "Look, I want to let you know something now. Your flour is not going to run out and your oil is not going to run out. And what I want you to do is just make me a little piece of bread. And then you make you and your son a little piece of bread." And he said, "And believe me when I say, your flour will not be spent. Your oil will not run out." And sure enough, she made the piece of bread for the prophet Elijah. She made a little piece for her and her son. And God did a miracle, and there was provision in her home for many more days to come. But even as she moved, according to the word of the prophet, it only represented just a measure of faith. She wasn't fully given in to this truth yet. And you see it as you read along here. And so shortly after, her son gets sick in the house. And when he gets sick, he dies. And then the widow comes to Elijah, because at this point, the prophet Elijah was staying in a guest room in her home. And so she comes to the prophet and says, "What have you against me, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance?" In the moment of death, in the moment of calamity, in the moment of loss, she feels like this is God recalling all of her sins. I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've lost all that I've had, or it's been a point in my life in great despair where suddenly I feel like maybe God's just adding up all the sins of my life, and this is why I'm going through what I'm going through. And she says, is this my punishment? That's basically what she's asking. Is this it? Is this my punishment for the life that I've lived? And maybe some of you in here, it feels like every time something goes wrong, every time you lose something, every time maybe you lose another job, or every time you look at your bank account and you see it's empty, or every time there's another failed relationship, do you ever feel like sometimes, maybe this is just, it's all my fault. God's just still punishing me for just all the mess I've done. Well, maybe it's just me. But there are many that feel like for every bad thing that happens in life, for every failure, for every flaw, you look back and reflect on all the mess that you've made of things. But I want you to know tonight, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. With God, there's no condemnation. God's not here in his house looking down on you to condemn you for the mess that you've made of things. And for every time that you have attempted to just move along and you've ran into more disappointment and more pain, it is not the desire of God to continue to punish you because of the mess that you've made. Nor should you look to blame God for the constant failure, pain, and loss in your life. Sickness, disease, trial, emptiness. And I've been there when it's just, you look at your bank account and it's just holding on to your last $2.50. I've been there. Driving down the road on a highway, and all of a sudden your engine just breaks down. And you can't even call a tow because your insurance doesn't cover everything. I've been there when you're trying to figure out how in the world am I going to feed my kids? I don't even know how we can get groceries this week. I've been there. I've seen that. And in those moments, man, have I wrestled with God. I've wrestled with God. God, is it because of just, I knew it. These are the consequences just catching up with me, right? Because of all just the dumb stuff that I've done. I'm paying for it, right, God? And so quickly, just in the point of despair and loss and loneliness, we just assume that this is condemnation on my life. And this is this cry that comes from this widow. It's a cry of desperation, a cry of pain, a cry of suffering. And then Elijah says, give me the child. And Elijah takes the child up to this upper room. And Elijah responds to the cry of the widow, the cry of despair, the cry of loss. And when Elijah takes the child up to the upper room, then Elijah cries out. But he cries out to God. And he cries out in hope. And he cries out in faith. God, what have you say about this calamity? What will you do? What are you doing, God? There was no hopelessness in the way he cried out to God, but he was crying out in hope, knowing that my faith is in him. And then Elijah throws his body on top of the boy. And scripture says he does this 3 times and he cries out 3 times. Hope crying out to a savior. Faith crying out to God. And the boy comes alive again. And then he brings the boy down to his mother and says he lives. Well, you know, as I was reading this story, the only way I could explain it is simply this. It points to Jesus. It points to Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for you and I. And he was nailed to a cross, old rugged piece of wood in the shape of a T. The story of Elijah crying out represents Jesus Christ, who represents the love of God. And God's love is demonstrated by the death of his only begotten son on the cross for you and I. And on that cross, love cries out. Love cries out to you. Love cries out to me. And love cries out the loudest from the cross of Jesus Christ. Love cries out louder than my despair. Love cries out louder than my pain. Love cries out louder than my depression. Love cries out louder than any plan of the enemy to destroy your life. Hallelujah, love cries out from the cross. It was so interesting to me as I've been studying the cross and just spending a lot of time understanding. You know, there's a moment where around 3 o'clock, it goes dark, pitch dark. On this place called the skull, this place of death. Dark, no light, complete silence. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And then after 3 hours, Jesus cries out. It's love crying out for you and I to know that there's salvation through him. And all of a sudden, he cries out and the lights go up again. This cannot be described scientifically. This was a supernatural moment. Something was happening in the supernatural that can't be explained in the natural. And when he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's love crying out for your forgiveness, for our forgiveness. Love cries out that you would know his grace in that hour. Father, forgive them. This love cries out louder than condemnation. This love cries out louder than the guilt and the shame of the widow who says, oh, all that is lost right now, is it because of me? God, are you taking this moment now to remember my sins? No, love cries out in the very sins that you and I should have died for, are now laid upon the Savior Jesus Christ on that cross. He bore our sins. Love cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, Jesus becomes sin. He's wrapped fully in our sin. And even though in that moment, God dies on the cross, he's fully God but fully man. But in that moment, there's a separation between him and his Father, who turns and looks upon us in that hour. You and I, because of our sin that brought Jesus to the cross, now the Father is looking at us in love. And love cries out on that cross. When he cries out, the people that were watching, they say, wait, is he calling on Elijah right now? Is he calling on Elijah? They offer him some sour wine in the hope that he would just fully be aware of what was going on. And the people there standing and watching. Wait a second. No, scripture tells us in Matthew. They said, no, wait. Let's see if Elijah's going to come, show up, and save him. Let's see if Elijah's going to save him. Meanwhile, salvation is happening for them on the cross. But let's see if Elijah is going to save him. Because we know the Old Testament. And we're religious people. And in that moment, religious people are fascinated with Jesus, the idea of Jesus, but not really realizing that salvation comes by being set free from Jesus because of that cross. Let's wait. Let's see if Elijah will save him. And they completely overlooked and could not fully grasp and understand the power of the cross and what Jesus Christ was doing in that moment to save you and I. Elijah and all that he did, the miracle, the way God used him to bring that boy back to life, was only to point you and I to Jesus Christ and salvation for you and I. Love cries out to you and I right now. That's the power of the cross. Some of you have been crying out. I'm not talking about the outward emotional cry. I'm talking about that inner cry. The one where it hurts so bad deep down in here that you can't even come to tears anymore. Like Luzvet, who comes to a place where she's just so angry, she's just fighting everybody. But love cries out louder than your anger. Love cries out louder than your unforgiveness. And it's the cry. It's the cry of salvation. Could you stand with me? The presence of the Lord is here. And you know it. I'm speaking to some people here. You might be visiting. A friend may have brought you. You can't escape God's love. You can't run from it. You can't run from his grace. You can't run from his mercy. And love cries out to you despite your own doubt. Despite whether you're looking still to blame God for something that you've lost in life. The relationship that's failed. But tonight, Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to bring healing to your heart. And you don't have to be angry anymore. I know for sure in my heart that there are people in here that were able to identify with the testimonies that you heard this evening. I know there are tears. I know there's pain. I know there's suffering. God wants to heal you. He wants to be your God. He wants to be Savior in your life. And it's not enough for you to go to church from time to time. It's not enough for you to simply go to church on a regular basis but not have a relationship with Jesus. This is a serious time. We're getting ready to worship. I'm going to ask the believers to begin to pray right now. I need your help. And if you're not praying, you're leaning over to your friend or the person that you brought with you, or your loved one, or your spouse, or your cousin, sibling, and you're just looking over to them saying, I'll walk down with you. I'll stand with you if you really want to make Jesus Christ your Savior. And don't allow your pride to shout back at you, you don't need to do this. When you know that love is crying out, unconditional love, love that never fails. Love that will keep you. Love that will hold you. Love that will dwell in your heart. It's Jesus Christ and the power of the cross that can set you free and give you victory. And some of you, you've had a song of depression, a song of loneliness that just runs. It's on repeat over and over and over again in your head. But I want to give you, I want to tell you about a victory song that can be on repeat over and over in your head tonight. Will you respond to the love that cries out from the cross that says, come, come and be free? Or will you remain in your pride, in your seat? Now, I'm going to pray for you right now. I feel led to pray for you right now. And then when I'm done with this prayer, I want you to make your way up here. I want you to say, God, I my heart needs to be healed. I need to be set free. I need you to be my savior. And after I'm done praying, I want you to come up. I want you to be bold and come up here. Jesus cried out on the cross boldly and publicly for you. Love just cried out to you, say, come and be free in me. And after I'm done in prayer and we're going to worship, I want you to make your way up here. From the balcony too. I'm talking to somebody from this balcony. God, I ask you right now, stir their hearts. Stir their hearts, Holy Spirit. Stir their hearts right now. The young man right now that's wrestling with his own pride, Lord God, stir his heart right now to come up here and give his life to you. The young woman that's in here right now, stir her heart right now in the name of Jesus, I pray. The young woman that was able to identify with the testimony that she heard and she's wrestling it with now, unforgiveness. But God, let her know that there's forgiveness in you, Jesus Christ. Stir her heart. The husband right now that's ready to quit, to walk out on his family, to walk out on his marriage. God, I'm asking you right now to break down that wall of pride and draw him right here to this place where we're going to pray and we're going to call on you and there's going to be victory and freedom in his marriage. I'm asking you right now, oh God, do it. And Lord God, you know those that have been crying out in their heart. They've been wailing in their heart, but outside they've been trying to show that they're okay. But God, you're crying out to them in love, in your mercy and your grace. Now, God, draw them unto you. In your name I pray, amen. Now you make your way down right now. Believers, ask your friend right now. And you begin to make your, we're going to worship, but you come down here right now and let's pray and believe God for freedom. Thank you, Jesus. There's freedom. There's freedom. There's freedom. There's freedom. Would you pray this prayer with me? Church, we're going to pray with them too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Dear Lord, I confess I've made a lot of mistakes. I need help. Save me. Please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you are the Savior who died on the cross for my sin. Make me a new person. Change me. Thank you for loving me unconditionally. I want to know your love each and every day of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I believe right now that I'm free because of you. Heal my heart. Heal my broken heart. I'm free. Give me a victory song, God. All the days of my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.